Yes, ladies and gentlemen, tonight, live from Arnold's Drive-In and Milwaukee Fried Chicken Stand, You Wanted to See It brings you one of the most exciting events it's ever been our privilege to bring.
Okay, kids, Arnold's is proud to present Kenosha, Wisconsin's own...
TC and Jake.
Hey, Jake, how's your morning going?
It's pretty good.
What have you pretty done good. Today?
Well, I took the kid to school. I did not have the boy last night. Kristen's out of town.
Okay.
So, get a little help. And my mom also has to come over in the morning to help me get Nora ready for like 20 minutes before she goes to work. She just won't let me do it.
Yeah.
I mean, I can do it. I've done it. But the hair suffers significantly, obviously. So, yeah. And then
I feel fine about my hair abilities. You just got to brush it.
I mean, I can do the basic spray the water, brush it, put a clip or a bow in it.
Yeah.
But if it's a day where she wants pigtails or braids, your boy is lacking.
I mean, obviously, Megan's braids are better than mine, but I'll braid her hair. I've done it before.
That's tight. I've watched a couple YouTube videos, but it's kind of like I had a brief period where I changed the battery on my car like twice over like a 5-year period from watching YouTube videos, and both times I fucked it up.
Mm.
There's no real, like, you know what I need is like a mannequin.
Yeah.
With a wig on to practice, because
I mean, you know, Izzy has one.
A mannequin?
It's shaped like Rapunzel, but pretty much every Disney princess, they'll sell some variety of this. It's because the kids like doing the hair, you know, like they think it's fun. So
I don't know that we have anything with enough hair that I could really get real practice on, but eventually I'm going to have to figure it out.
Yeah, I'd say my confidence stems from, I don't remember if it was Head or Monkey that had braids, but, you know, I watched that
this
as a youth.
This is a Korn reference, folks.
Yeah, I watched that as a youth and was like, well, that obviously looks great, so got to figure that out.
You know what I was thinking about whenever we were in when we were in Mexico is, so when you walk along the beach in like a resort town, I told you that we got like massages on the beach.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There's a shit ton of stuff that is just being peddled to you, right? Like everywhere. That's just, everyone knows Mexico.
Don't enjoy that.
But one of them obviously is hair braiding. And so I saw a couple of like 60 to 70 year old Canadian women who had like full on braids. And I'm like, you know, through a different lens, that's pretty racist, but I'm mm-hmm. just going to say it's awesome. And it also reminded me that when I was like 10, I'm pretty sure my brother did it too. When I was like 10 and we were in Cancun, I got little braids.
That's nice.
Like didn't have a lot that. Of hair to braid. And I believe at the time I was playing for the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
So I got little red and yellow braids.
That's great.
It was
maybe
great.
Send that to find the picture and send it to Patrick Mahomes. I bet I'd be impressed. Maybe
well, I also had
you guys really being friends.
This is a horrible, horrible admission. But before that, I was a quarterback for the Eagles.
Oh,
and
Jake.
I had like gray and green braces.
Oh, no.
Yeah. We're just letting it all out there today.
Yeah, that's a worse admission than your racist braids.
I have a school photo where I have Philadelphia Eagle colored braces.
Mm.
This is not going to go over well with the people.
Yeah, no.
Especially on a free episode.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, regularly out there saying, what, don't you have, oh, yeah, it's Philly fans are cooler. That was your recent I love Philadelphia statement.
Yeah, I mean, I think you've seen me watch a Cowboy-Eagles game, and you know that I fucking hate them. I hate
yeah,
their
but
team.
It's not showing up whenever you're saying, you know, I mean, it does seem cool. I just wish I could be one of them.
I mean, I feel that way about you and Notre Dame. And Notre Dame is like cool. Like they're not assholes. I just wish that I was a part of something like that was as real and legacy and deep and passionate as most Philadelphia sports. And like the Cowboys are faking the funk on that.
It's not like they have a tradition of excellence. You know, like you pick a random Eagles season, you're going to have a lot of people who definitely were very invested in whether or not it went well, but nearly guaranteed it didn't end in a Super Bowl and probably not the playoffs. Like, they kind of fucking suck.
Yeah. And I mean, it probably, like I said, we're letting it all hang out here today. I had an Eric Lindros poster as a kid.
Oh my God.
Really saw myself as a power forward.
Yeah.
As a big guy who could dominate the middle of the ice.
And you hit us with Houston is better around the same time, which is
better city.
An even more disgusting take. It's not fucking close. Like, you just want to say that Houston rap is cool, like, you can say that. You don't have to go overboard and say that the fucking, you're living inside a fucking too warm swimming pool 9 months of the year. It fucking blows down there. And like, even if it wasn't, like, I did have a writer who, I think I mentioned this at the time, revealed himself to be like involved in real estate development. And, you know, I have a bit of an interest in this area. So I was asking him a bunch of questions. He had worked in Austin, Dallas, and Houston. I was like, you know, what are the differences? And he's like, it's a lot easier to get things built in Houston because of no zoning, but it makes it a dog shit city. It's extremely ugly. I was happy to get out of there. And he's a professional. That was his opinion.
Well, I guess I'll have to take that opinion and place it above mine. But culturally, I feel like Houston is solid. It's music. Like, I just feel like culturally, it's stronger. It's similar to my Philly-Dallas thing.
I just feel like we
live in a fake fucking city. Like, and I don't even live there. I live in the worst part of it, the exurbs.
I mean,
whatever you call these. I don't even know the difference between exurb and suburb, to be honest with you. I see that word.
Exurbs are farther. You're not in an exurb.
Okay.
Exurbs, like past Lantana, you know?
Okay. I mean, I'm like half an hour away from Dallas.
Yeah, but you want to be like an hour away.
Connected. Yeah, I guess that's part of it too.
Connected. Anyways. Like exurbs are, they're not connected. They're starting to get there. You know, you can have an argument about like Prosper, you know?
You know, my dad has been looking at, and I think he might have actually put a down payment on a lot. There's a place called Robson Ranch. Have you ever thought about like that being your, if you can afford it, like late in life move?
No.
It's like never a, once. I think like 65 and up community.
I think but that I've given you have a house. A ride out here.
You have a house. It's not like you're in a nursing home.
Yeah, I've given a ride
out here. And they have like, you know, amenities.
They have coordinated Christmas decorations. It's that kind of shit.
Yeah.
It's a community, you know?
It's a community. Which I feel like when you get old, especially like if you're trying to stave off Alzheimer's, is pretty important.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You want to
just
stay
to have, you know,
integrated with people.
Yeah. Like when my when my grandfather went to his assisted living facility, mm-hmm. I don't know that he ever left the room.
Yeah, it's probably not going to slow down the decline.
Yeah, like he went down there and he had to like pay extra to eat in his room. He was like, I don't care. I don't want to be down there.
I can't identify with that. I remember
one time my dad and I being like, I think he tried it for like a week and we asked about it and he was like, they're just all so old.
Yeah, good point. True.
We're like, you're older. Mm. You're older than the average age here.
Doesn't mean I like them.
Yeah, so anyways. What are we talking about? Notre Dame?
No, Houston. How bad it sucks.
I did want to tell you about the two Iditarod stories I read.
Yes, please.
We teased it last Patreon.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was kind of following this story.
Hit me again. Know, like, how much is $3,000 if you win?
Or
a smartphone.
Or a smartphone.
It's not an iPhone?
You know, it didn't say. I don't know if that was like because
I feel like
New
if
York
it was
Times,
an iPhone, then they would just say iPhone.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, it's probably a Pixel.
Yeah.
But you get it and you don't have to like add it to your bill every month.
So it's a paid for smartphone.
I guess so, yeah. I assume.
Okay.
You're at least not adding, like, I recently got a new phone and I was like, this is the first time I had to pay my phone bill since then. And I was like, damn, I got a new phone, huh?
I wish I'd won the Iditarod.
I wish I had won the Iditarod. Yeah. So the controversy at Iditarod this time around, which there was a guy, there's a guy who's won it, I think, five times. Now this was his sixth time. He started racing at 18. His dad ran in it. His grandfather ran in it. It's in his blood, TC. I mm-hmm. believe he was the youngest competitor ever at 18 and the youngest winner at like 25. But he won this year despite a setback. That setback being that he was basically fined 2 hours. Like, there's portions of the race where they have to stop for 24 hours.
Okay.
And they made him stop for 26.
Okay.
And he still won. And the reason for that was they have rules about what happens when you interface with like another animal.
Okay.
In this case, it was a moose.
Mm-hmm.
He kills the moose.
So the moose is a 2-hour penalty.
No, you can kill the moose.
You can kill the moose. Okay.
You can kill the moose. However, you have to sufficiently gut the animal.
He didn't gut the moose.
He didn't gut it well enough.
Got to use every part of the animal.
That's right. Nothing goes to waste, Beavis. Yeah. He cut a couple corners and then left the moose on the track, which became a problem for other mushers.
Yeah.
And they found it and like examined it and were like, this is shit. And fined him 2 hours. And I don't know. I've been like endlessly tickled by the idea that there's like a judge who's like peering down into the organs of a moose and is like, there's a little intestine left here.
This isn't a gutted moose.
Uh-uh. And then he gives the gladiator thumbs down.
Yeah, but this guy's just so dominant. He's like, fucking put on 2 hours. Don't give a shit.
Yeah, but also that's why I figured he wouldn't have been in such a hurry.
Yeah.
Like, I figure if you know you can just kick everybody's ass anyways, but...
maybe it's kind of a bitch, like... Maybe it's kind of a fucking hassle to gut a moose. You'd rather take
it. It's got to be a tremendous hassle.
Yeah.
Wow. He said, I gutted it as best I could, but it was ugly. You don't want to see a picture of that in your collection.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, anyways, he still won.
Good for him.
But I ended up reading, like, oh, also, the moose attacked one of his dogs, like I told you.
Mm-hmm.
He's been cleared to come home, good. But he did have to be hospitalized.
Oh, the dog?
Yeah. Well, the moose it was pretty pointless to hospitalize him at that point.
I just didn't know if it was the driver or the dog.
No, yeah. It was not the musher.
Yeah, no, I know the moose is beyond help.
Yeah, and I wonder if it's like one of these sports like wakeboarding or something where you're like, the prize money seems pretty low. Like, how are you dedicating all of your time to this? If there's some sort of like sponsorship angle, you know what I mean? Like, I don't understand like how you're, because you have to be pretty skilled to do this.
It's probably just like fucking Kavanaugh and flag football where like, it's clearly not worth it. He paid more in knee surgery fees than he received in winnings. But like, this is what you want to do. It's if you're like a guy that lives up in Alaska and your granddad did this and your dad did this, you'd probably do it for free.
Like, yeah, I just wondered.
It's a little weird to me that they give, like, at $3,000, I would say, forget about it. Just don't like it's not like $3,000 is meaningless, especially the people living in Alaska. Although the permanent fund will give you close to that.
I was going to say they have their investment fund.
Yeah, but I, you know, whatever. I'm sure that he can find something to spend $3,000 on. But at that level, I would think that there's no one entering that's doing it for the chance at the prize money. You just want to win the Iditarod because it's the Iditarod.
Yeah, especially if you are winning your record-breaking sixth championship. By the way,
just to put it in terms you understand, it's like winning Miss Grapefest.
It would be very funny if that was a thing.
Used to say it's not.
Just pilled out. Man, you know what?
Thank you, Greg Pond.
Yeah. And William D. Tate's up there getting like the invitation feedback loop.
Yeah.
I saw a lady yesterday that I was positive was on pills.
Nice.
Driving. It was like 8 o'clock.
Driving.
I just dropped Nora off, and I was at a four-way stop, and she, it was clearly her turn, like right of way.
Mm-hmm.
And she very slowly, she was to my left, very slowly made a right-hand turn. And fortunately, it was very slowly because she was headed right for the front of my car.
Ah, shit.
Like, just completely missed the, that's the lane you're supposed to be in. And then, like, I honked. She stopped. And she just kind of started.
On her phone or something?
No. She kind of started, like, laughing. And, like, waved. And, like, I looked over at the guy to my
Sylvia,
right. And I was like, what the fuck?
You do this all the time.
What are we doing here? It's, like, 8:10 in the morning. And she just, like, backed up and then, like, slowly drove forward, which was not the direction she initially intended to go.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. Just to be like, I'll make some other turns later.
I'll loop around. It's fine.
Just get out of this.
I'll figure it out. Yeah, I was going to tell you, yeah, 3 dogs died at this year's race.
Don't love that. Is that an unusually bloody year, or are we pretty much guaranteed to lose dogs every Iditarod?
I don't know that. I think they definitely have injuries every year. I don't know if this is an unusually high number or not, but like when it finishes like downtown, and it looks like Mardi Gras.
I love that. You gonna go?
It looks. I mean, honestly, dude, if I had the money, like, and I was just like, I can do whatever. I've told you before, like,
you got a couple, couple remotes away from that. Then
Vice has done, stuff like this before, but just the I want to go to weird sporting events all over the world thing. Mm-hmm. I think that'd be great.
Yeah. What downtown? Sure they've done it. Where is the Iditarod held?
Let's see. I think no. It ends. Let's see. Is it Nome? Nome. It's Front Street. And yeah, people like come out of the bars and stuff.
Boy, this is a remote area.
Yeah. They don't race Huskies on 635.
I don't see a Front Street in Nome, so we might be somewhere else. I just see Bering.
Yeah, Bering Sea.
Yeah, Bering Strait. Yeah, Jesus Christ. I didn't know Nome was so... Because I've heard of Nome, you know? I would have thought it was one of the bigger towns in Alaska, and it may indeed be, but, you know, Anchorage and Juneau, considerably larger, I would have to guess after just looking at Nome. I had a story about Rudy that popped into my head a couple weeks ago that I've been meaning to feature on here.
Okay.
Rudy, my father-in-law, who passed away recently, and so people were trading their favorite Rudy stories. And, my favorite, as evidenced by the last time we talked about him, is when he won the Purple Heart. But this one's fun as well.
My favorite one.
That wasn't your favorite one?
No.
It was stole a car. Story. Yeah, that was also tight. But, and I was telling that... To someone older, I think maybe like my grandma, I was like trying to explain how he stole it, like that he was intending to return it. And they immediately were like, oh, he was joyriding. Like, did that used to be a thing where like yes. some people would boost cars just to give them back after a bit?
Yes.
Like what a, you know, just the changing of norms is always fascinating to me. That crime is entirely gone away, right? When's the last time you heard about someone giving back a stolen car?
I haven't. So I would say that it's been eradicated. I don't know if it's gun ownership or the militarization of the police force. But I feel like pretty quickly you're helicopters.
Yeah. But people do still steal cars. Yeah. You know, it's not controlled entirely.
No. Yeah, step one still gets completed, but yeah. I feel like we've put in stop gaps to keep step two, return of car, from happening.
Which is too bad. You know, I'm sure the car owners would like for some percentage of stolen cars to get returned voluntarily.
Interestingly enough, along those same lines, what has not really receded and probably has increased is street racing.
True. Dude, I follow Justin turned me on to an account of a guy in Chicago who has a drone, and it's fucking insane. Like, he's like all the like block shutdowns, he's just there with his drone while people are doing donuts as fast as they can, surrounded by 500 people shooting fireworks.
I wish I knew of a city where I constantly see people. I wish I knew of a city where I constantly see people doing street takeovers and drag racing and donuts, and a guy who lived in that city with a drone.
It would be cool, but I'm just not plugged in like that.
I can tell you where to start. In front of the AAC.
Oh, really? People?
Holy shit, dude. You're not plugged in on Dallas, Texas TV?
I mean, I follow Dallas, Texas TV. I don't remember seeing
I feel like
that.
It's half their content.
Yeah, I'm just missing them. Leon of Da Vinci is the name of the guy in Chicago that does this stuff. And his shit is fucking so dope. But he's got the same drone I do. I could definitely do all this if someone wants to let me know when street races happen. But I don't know. That's also like
Saturday night between downtown and Victory Plaza.
I don't know. You know, it's just I think that he would be welcome there in a way that I wouldn't. I don't want to get more specific.
Interesting.
Like, just I know how much of a stranger I feel in my own car whenever I'm, you know, hanging out with people who might potentially street race. And I don't want any more of that feeling. I feel like a fucking alien. Don't like it. You know? And yeah. Like just turned inward, you know? Like I guess I'm just regretting that I wasn't born cool. Like they just seem cooler than me. And I'm just like, well, it's really being highlighted how lame I am. And I just turned that inward. You know, I don't know. It doesn't make me want to go to street races. But I could be far enough away. I guess the drones are loud, though. If it's a big, like, group of people like that, they have to want it there or else, you know, they'll fire one of the fireworks at it.
I feel like there's enough noise going on to where that ain't going to be a problem.
Yeah, that's to a degree true, but, like, they're very loud. Like, there's no way you're missing this. I went out to the, you know, I'm preparing for Josh and I's baseball Twitch stream that we're going to do whenever the Rangers season starts. And so I got some cool drone footage at the stadium where the Rangers play. And it's like all the way up there. I'm in an empty parking lot, but like they're blasting. There's some kind of soccer game going on at the Choctaw. And so, like, you know, I'm getting that, but I could still hear it. Like, you know, I don't know how to put 120 meters in a distance that you and I understand, but you could barely like see it up there. You know, like it's a little speck, but I can still hear it. It's pretty nuts.
Popular on the beach.
Having a drone?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, every time we go to Gulf Shores,
I guess that's true.
The main activity for me.
I'm more accepting of it when it's my friend.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're not.
But whenever it's
when
just
you
like
see
a
range, stranger,
yeah, unidentified drone just hovering over the pool.
Yeah,
like on the beach, I'm just like, what the fuck is this? Did I sign something?
Yeah, that's the like. I'm just so constantly worried about that kind of stuff, you know. And like some people clearly like it. You know, like if I'm filming a cool boat and they'll catch sight of it, like some people definitely react like, you know, waving and like give the thumbs up and like, you know, hey, we look awesome right now. We're on a fucking speedboat and this guy's capturing it. I'll bet it looks great. That's an awesome reaction. But some people are definitely like, where's my fucking gun? And I get it. You know, like I don't want to invade anyone's privacy. I'm trying to operate in a way that minimizes this, but you know, it's a little bit impossible at times.
We started with a story about a ride you had.
No, it was about Rudy.
Oh, Rudy, that's right. Yeah, converted us into joyriding.
So I don't know why they have such a history and tradition in the family of somehow attracting foreigners. there was they had like a foreign exchange student living with them who was such a good friend. She flew in for the funeral. She lives in New York now, so it's not like she was flying from Paris, but like New York is also far. And she just flew, you know, I mean, like, you know, she spent months with them at the time. And like, whenever Megan and I went to Paris for our honeymoon, we like got dinner with her, and she's really cool. But yeah, so they had that. And then I really don't understand how this occurred or like how long it lasted or what the nature of this was, but some Italian dudes just live with them for a while. Like they flew from Italy to Cedar Hill.
And you're getting on me for letting a couple drifters stay at my house in San Marcos for a couple days, maybe a week.
I mean, I think that Everin's picking up that I'm just as perplexed by by this. It's not like I'm across the board endorsing. But I think that these guys, I don't know how long they're there. I think it was like at most weeks. It wasn't like a foreign exchange thing. But it was so we've got one shot with these guys. We got to show them America. You know, we got to give them an idea of what it's like to live here, what really captures the essence of the American experience.
Tony Roma's.
No, better, dude. Rudy, like, takes a look. He's like, I'm going to show you boys a good time. We got a restaurant down here where the waitresses wear tight shirts. They serve chicken wings. He took up the Hooters.
Yeah. Hell yeah. You know, Italian, you know, Luigi's all over that.
Yeah, they're gonna be like, this is the best place, which I think was the reaction.
Yeah,
but yeah,
that in some ways, Hooters is like the most European American restaurant.
In some ways, it is. but yeah, just meeting three rowdy Italians and then being like, I'm gonna take these boys to Hooters. Great, great, great instincts. Love it. Really emblemized well, Purple Heart is
number
three. Was.
Is number three now?
yeah.
We keep moving it down. Did we talk TikTok the other day?
I don't think so much. I mean, you know, what's there to say? Sorry, I don't mean to minimize any content.
No, I just wanted to read. It's I don't have much. First of all, I was shocked at the number of users.
You shouldn't be. It's a great app.
I mean, I like when stuff from TikTok makes it to Twitter. I don't have the mental capacity to add another app to my consumption.
I mean, whichever one you would take out is certainly worse because TikTok's the best app.
Yeah, but it probably doesn't help as much with like job stuff.
Like your job?
Yeah.
It would. How do you?
I need news.
Look at my output of the last 6 months to a year. The only thing I bring to you are things I find on TikTok.
Is Ken Rosenthal on there during the hot stove season? Dude, it's half the U.S. population.
Yeah, we did talk about this because I pointed out that it's probably people with multiple accounts. I have three accounts.
Yeah, okay, that's true. So did I bring up to you the part, I can't remember, about the people who oppose a national ban?
I don't know.
I just found this stat really funny. We may be just doing this again, even though that might have just been on Patreon. 31% of adults favor a nationwide ban on TikTok use. 35% would oppose a TikTok ban. But among those who use TikTok daily, a national ban is unpopular, with 73% saying they would oppose it.
Yeah.
Which is hilarious.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Who are you? You're like, I use this every day, but I absolutely hate it. And then the other thing.
I mean, that would be how you would vote on Twitter, right? I use it every day and I wish it would be banned nationally.
Again, Dan is fond of saying like we did our jobs fine before it.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, dude. I mean, it does make things so much easier.
I guess. I never get the sense that you're like just loving every minute of it.
No, I don't love it. I actually hate it. But I do think it makes collecting content that you can, you know, synthesize.
Just going to ESPN.com works pretty good.
It used to.
You don't like, there's something broken about ESPN.com?
There's no page two.
Okay. I just mean like the top headlines things generally gives me all the information I need.
I would have never known about Don Lemon v. Elon Musk without Twitter, though.
Yes, that's quite true. Seems amazing. You know, like, never want to say anything good about Don Lemon, but I don't know. Yeah, I haven't sat down and watched the interview. I think I might, although the clips I see, it's kind of like these nerds arguing over nerd things. I don't know, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I've seen the whole interview, even though I only watched it in 6 2-minute clips.
There's back episodes of Club Shay Shay I haven't seen. I'm going to spend that time watching one of these. Fucking sure. No. But you know, it makes you realize how infrequently Elon has ever sat down with anyone who said anything that's like even mildly challenging.
Which begs the question of why he'd agreed to do it now.
I mean, you know, I think that Don was a name and he's like clearly desperate for anyone to like. This is the embodiment of the spirit of whenever he was like tweeting at Taylor Swift, like, you could post videos on X. That'd be cool. You might like it. Just like, you know, he's running a platform. It's going about as bad as it can go, to the point where I do really wonder if like the point is for it to go bad. You know, like I don't know that he like has a deep commitment to racist values or anything. I think that he's just so thoroughly annoyed by, you know, like people who are supportive of the rights of trans people that he's like blinded by anything else. And the people who support the rights of trans people love Twitter. So I wonder if it would make the most sense if he's just like, here's this thing they like, I will destroy it.
That's sort of it, I think. But it's not that dissimilar from my friend Wade brings this up all the time. Donald Trump only ran for president because Barack Obama made fun of him at that press corps dinner that was hosted by Seth Meyers. That is the only reason, because everyone in that room was laughing at him. And was like, look at this fat, dumb, broke asshole. And that's the only reason he did it. And I would contend to you that if that photo where Elon is on a boat and looks like an alien had never surfaced, he would never have bought the platform.
Yeah.
And a series of other times where people were just absolutely freaking Anthony Edwardsing him.
Yeah.
Like, that's why he's like, all right, well, fuck it.
We'll see.
I'll just buy it. Yeah.
I think that makes sense. But probably doesn't want it to like fail, just wants to turn it into something else. You know, and like if he spends the minimum amount along the way and that causes it to fail, you know, who cares?
But still Don Lemon though, like I feel like you gotta know what you're gonna get into there. Like maybe it's
dude, he's gotta be so used to the distorting effect that the amount of wealth he has, like, you know, I'm sure that Elon thinks that Don having the Tucker Carlson style deal with X is a big deal to Don. And so, you know, I'm sure that the reports about what Don's compensation were came directly from Elon. I kind of wonder if he's exaggerating, but like, even if he's not, you know, whatever. If you are giving the guy $8 million in a Cybertruck, then like most people who receive $8 million in a Cybertruck are not going to ask you any challenging questions because they want that $8 million in the Cybertruck. So I don't know. I think he just, and I would anticipate this is easy to do. I think he underestimated the integrity of Don Lemon. I think we all did.
I mean, there was a time where Don Lemon was like a real anchor.
Yeah.
I mean, you get a little fucked up on New Year's Eve and now all of a sudden your credibility's shot. He also had some pretty retrograde opinions about women, but maybe that was just a setup to get Elon in his next venture.
Yeah, that was he was thinking a couple steps ahead.
Yeah, but I mean, and it's, you know, it's, I feel like it's a condescending thing to say, which I'm prone to doing, but everyone's general response to it is kind of what you alluded to first, which is just that none of these ideas stand up to like a shred of scrutiny.
Yeah, it's great. It fucking rules.
Like absolutely none of them. And it had to be a non-white.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
There's no way that you can, like, even a trans person, a white trans person, he would not have taken that seriously. But, like, he's got a black man in front of him telling him, like, yeah, I've been discriminated against. And he's like, yeah, but I can't do Elon. But he's like, yeah, but you're doing pretty well. Don Lemon's like, no, I'm doing well in spite of this. And I've just never seen the richest person in the world just coming off like a complete dumbass. Like, Bill Gates is a dork, but I never listened to him and was like, this guy's dumb.
Yes, yeah, yeah, yeah. This does. And I mean, you know, it's hard to see it and not then begin to question everything, right? Like,
yeah, like, how does this happen?
Like I'm are not all a very of them smart, this dumb and like they're I'm just a little better person. At avoiding it? Like,
and the other thing too is like, and I think I can share this story, but
like just him by himself, like, is the most significant doubts I have that like capitalism is a meritocracy.
Agreed. However, given my family situation and things, like, he's definitely autistic.
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah.
There's, and so, but also, so is Bill Gates.
Him saying, now we've got this crusade against ketamine because he likes it. Tap the brakes, folks. Let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm not going to buy a Cybertruck, but I may try ketamine treatments. I can evaluate each of these issues individually. But, like, it's obvious. But there are plenty of people on the spectrum, plenty of neurodivergent people that are capable of defending their arguments verbally on their feet without looking like they've never actually thought past step one of their philosophy.
Yeah, if anything, they're better, dude.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm not saying it's like an excuse, but like when I listen to him talk sometimes I'm like, oh, okay, I know what this is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I'd say that despite the advantages in being autistic, that he is failing.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. It's like the reverse of what's happening with Don Lemon.
It's funny trying to teach your parents about you know, stuff going on with your kids or whatever, because I mean, my mom is super super busy. They got a business to run. She does a ton of work helping me out with the kids. I honestly don't know how she does it. It's her birthday today, too, by the way. Happy birthday, Mom. I hope you don't hear this. But she actually said to me the other day, like, do not mute for that ever again, or I will stop doing this podcast.
I'm
going to
mute every time.
Then we'll be done.
I need to have a private chat with my boy.
I don't have to hire John Boy to read the lips of shut the fuck up, Henry.
He needed that message.
And my mom, we were talking the other day because, like, I got to take Nora to OT tomorrow, like occupational therapy in the morning. And she was like, you know, I read the other day that Elon Musk is autistic. She's like, don't you think that's incredible? And I'm like, I don't think you understand how this works at all.
See, they can do all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, she was like, that's just, you know, he's a very successful business person. I was like, Mom, I think you might find that most of, like, yeah, not, I don't know about most, but a significant portion of people that have ascended to positions of prominence in art, business, etc., it's because they see the world differently.
Like, in the, like, who's the last world's richest man that you would say isn't? Like, Bezos, definitely. Gates.
Yeah, I mean, you probably have to go back to like the Rockefellers who were just extorting people.
Yeah, not Rockefeller.
I mean, I don't know anything about them. I just know that they were.
He's in the oil book, and let me tell you, mafia. I'm not. It could go either way. And
I mean, Dan's told me some stories about the Elder Hunt, and I don't know. He's walking backwards on his hands.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he seemed different. At minimum.
The oil book got into, and I'm sure this is probably in Dallas 1963, just kind of brief overview of, like, Hunt shows up for 2 seconds and they explain how he got all of his oil money. And the largest oil discovery in the world to that time happened in East Texas. And the guy who'd, like, all of these discovery stories, there's always, you know, not necessarily like destitute, but boy, he's heading there because we haven't found this oil yet guy that's like positive it's there, you know? But
sometimes they have to cut up their credit card at the airport.
Exactly. That's exactly the kind of dudes we're talking about.
By the way, have you ever heard that story?
A couple times. Yeah, okay. I've heard Jerry Jones cut up his credit card. The desk agent.
That's correct. That different desk agent.
Yeah. What if it was the same one? What if he's like, ooh, this punishment, something titillates it. Something in me is titillated. Did you read any of the details about the suit being dismissed? The defamation suit that was brought by his alleged daughter?
Yeah. I mean, it happened when we were gone. So, I mean, I read a cursory glance at it.
I just thought it was a little hilarious that the judge's main thing is like, you know, the thing that she's claiming is defamation is that that whenever they said that she's leading a money shakedown, and the judge is like, hey, no offense, you are. So that's not defamation.
Yeah. Okay. Then, yeah, I think I read it right. I still don't. I mean, it's not over, though.
The whole thing is not. It's just like, the defamation is done. Like, yeah, they didn't defame her. Now, whether or not he's her dad is...
He's never taken that test.
You know, the court says he's got to take the test.
Dude.
And, like, what do any of us need the test for? It's got to be his daughter. Before she showed up, you would set the number of fun babies over. Like, if it's 0.5, you would obviously bet the over.
Yeah. If it's 5.5, I might bet the over.
Yeah. But so, I mean, like, yeah, if one shows up and, like, has the record, you know, like, all the... There's plenty of evidence that this has been what she thought was going on the entire time, right?
No, none of us need the test to confirm it publicly. Everybody knows. I think we just want the test to see what would happen next.
Yeah. No, I do wonder how this ends up. I would like to, I don't even know, you know, what the possibilities are. I just can't wait to see which one of them we land on. But yeah, there was a guy going around East Texas, positive there's oil down here. A lot of people are saying he's crazy. And every time he's trying to get someone to help him with it, he's like, all right, I got this lease. You can have a quarter of this lease if you help me with this. And he's just doing this over and over. And by the time that he does find oil, he's got like a clear, unadulterated claim to like a tiny percent of the land that he has leased to, mine oil or, you know, drill oil on. Mm-hmm. So it's really unclear legally what's going to happen here. You know, like, there's untold millions that are going to flow out of this, but who they are going to go to is pretty up in the air. And also,
I think you told me some about this part
at the time. I don't think so. And at the time that H.L. Hunt is negotiating with this guy, it's also at that point still a little up in the air. Like, they have struck oil, but they've only drilled one well so far, and we don't know how much is down there. The first well went great, but there's only so much you can tell from that. So H.L. Hunt gets this dude in a room. I think it's at the Baker Hotel, which used to be across the street from the Adolphus. It's where the AT&T headquarters are now. They negotiate for 36 straight hours. HL's just not letting him leave the room. He's just fucking cajoling him. During that time, HL steps out to take a phone call where he receives word that they have struck a second well, and this guy never finds out. And so with HL knowing, like, there's just a fucking ton down there and you got all these claims, it's going to be such a hassle. How about you just take a check from me? That's more money than you've ever had before. You'll be free and clear. This will be great. Obviously, eventually he does. And the HL pretty easily settles all the claims. He pays off all the people he needs to pay off. To get free and clear, you know, ownership of this land, and becomes the largest independent owner of the largest oil field ever discovered in history to that point.
Damn.
And that is, you know, how people own the Chiefs now.
And FC Dallas.
And FC Dallas.
Damn, that's nuts, man.
Like, you just gotta Ray think Hunt, history. That's Clark Hunt that's all that, right? I always get Lamar and Clark mixed up. Lamar is the older one who's now passed away. Clark is Correct. His son. And then yes. Ray, I think, is Lamar's brother. Might be Clark's brother, but I think it's Lamar's brother.
Yeah, Dan is Clark's brother.
And Ray, you know, like controls large swaths of the city in a big way. He popped up most recently with the claim that a high-speed rail station would cause the removal of Reunion Tower, which is obviously a bit silly.
I don't know anything about that. So
you didn't see that headline?
No.
Oh, well, their I media machine failed.
News.
So you only get grapevine news. Do you guys got a Reunion Tower down there or just the Warhammer Cafe?
We have a hotly contested Miss Grape Fest.
Yeah, love that. Love that.
Yeah. It's big for us.
One of the Club Shay Shay Steve Harvey things that I don't have like audio or anything, but do you know about Steve Harvey's like bankruptcy stuff or like tax issues? Did you ever hear about that?
Yeah, I think I learned about this recently, or at least was reminded of it recently because I was telling Dan about Steve Harvey's background.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because somehow, like, I think he stumbled upon an episode of Family Feud with his wife.
Nice.
And he was like, dude, this is great.
So
and I was
good.
Like, I've been telling you, man. So every time it's good. On, like, I don't have much mindless TV watching. I don't have much TV watching, period. But if we sit down and Family Feud is on in the background, like, I'm locked in.
Yes.
And he was like, where did he come from? Because I don't remember him being, like, that successful of a stand-up comedian. And I'm like, well, he was fairly successful. But like a lot of people that you find out, it's just radio.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, they just built, like, an empire when radio was super, super profitable. And, you know, he was on the beat for a while, maybe K104, but he was definitely here.
He was syndicated everywhere.
Yeah, but he was originated out of here at one point.
Did he really?
I read his Wikipedia page and found that out. I knew he was on the air here, but he was actually here.
Yeah, I did not know he was
for a while, and that's when I found out that he had
like it's K104 that's like in a house, right? Does he go into the house?
I don't know. I mean, I imagine, dude, he was doing it from home. Like, if he's living in Dallas, they probably just, you know, he was living that Russ Martin dream.
Yeah.
But yes, I do think at that time I learned that he had a controversy tab. And it's more than just that he would tell people not to look him in the eye if they worked for him.
Oh, I love that. That was fun. He mentioned it to Shannon. And then because I had watched that, YouTube suggested to me another video where it appears to be some kind of podcast Steve does, or maybe someone else's. It was something I'd never heard of, but he was on it. So obviously he's big enough. Steve Harvey, come on, IJB. He was explaining it in greater detail. He had an accountant. And so every year the accountant would tell him how much he owed the IRS and Steve would send in a check. And when the accountant died, the accountant's assistant was going through his office and found like a stack of the tax documents that was just like in a corner of the office and came to understand from that that instead of sending the check to the IRS, it was just cashing the check and spending the money himself over the course of 7 years.
This has happened to many people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I talked to Marshall Falk this week, and what Marshall was telling me, Vegas Mike he's got a weekly call where I think he's got all kinds of calls, but this is the one that's public. It's free for anyone to watch. If you just want to learn about the Men of Action program, this is a great place to do it. And a couple weeks ago, he reached out to me and was like, hey, we're having Marshall Falk on. Would you like to come on and ask Marshall a couple questions? And I said, hell yes, I would. And so then I was listening to the Vegas Mike and Marshall Falk talk. And the whole reason is that Marshall Falk's in some like you should buy life insurance or like invest in other people's life. I don't know.
Sounds legit.
And so it's some of most of it was, you know, as you'd expect, questions about what was it like whenever Kevin Dyson got tackled at the one. But then, and like, men of action questions sprinkled it. I mean, like, these are, I don't know, you know, like, I think there are important distinctions between, Mike Surtain and the wider Red Pill community, but like, he's clearly in the manosphere, right?
Sure.
And so, like, just their stuff is endlessly fascinating. I cannot get enough of these guys. And like, they have such a warped view on the world in some ways, but like, they all share it. So like, they've become confident in it. And like, so these some of the things they think are insane, the average consumer of Red Pill content. And but they all think them, so they're like just repeating it to each other, and it's great. And so one of the guys like just does come on and ask Marshall Faulk, a running back, like, how did you achieve anything if you're 5'10"? Like, I know that I can't have any of my life goals because I'm not 6 foot. And I'm like, that's a pretty average height for a running back.
Yeah, or a cornerback, or a safety, or an NHL player.
But these guys are just very worried that they're too short, which like I'm 5'11", and I've never, it doesn't, I barely think about my height at all, ever. there's things where I'm like, man, you know what? That's kind of held me back from accomplishing my goals. And the fact I'm not taller has never been one of them.
I probably take it for granted.
Yeah. Certainly, if you are tall, you don't think about it because you're just like, well, yeah, you know, I deserve these riches.
There are times, and I'll mention this to my wife from time to time, and I think she's tired of hearing about it. But there are times, typically, if I'm like slightly impaired one way or the other, where I'm like, man, I'm fucking way up here. Like, I'll just be like. I'll be like in a public place. And then, you know, I think I probably started thinking about it after listening to Mike, like, talk to women about like the percentages of men that are X height, whatever.
Yeah.
And I actually saw something the other day. It was like, I should have bookmarked this so I could give you the exact stats, but it was like, hey, you know, being 6'10" isn't all it takes to make the NBA. And somebody did like the breakdown of the percentage of people that are that height in the United States. I think they limited it to the United States, and like how many of them are in the NBA.
Yeah.
And actually it's exactly what you would think it is.
It's a lot.
It's like 10X for.
Yeah. Of the rates
six,
of
even like
a,
six, yeah. Five.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think maybe I started thinking about it when I saw Mike and when I saw that thing, but like sometimes I'll just be laying in bed and I'm like, man, my feet are way down there.
Yeah, it's nuts.
I know, it's weird, but you know, whenever you are like in a crowded place and you realize that you're just like, I'm up here.
Dude, whenever I
not like I exactly put it to use or anything, but
when I went to spring training and I went out, I don't remember if I mentioned this to you or the wider podcast audience, but I went out with Ben Muth one night, and it was him and two other guys he played at Stanford with, one of whom appeared to be like a receiver, maybe, you know? But then the other one was clearly another tackle. And yeah, then I noticed that I was short. Like, yeah. Standing in a bar next to those two fucking trees. It was startling. I did feel like just a little guy.
Dude, one of the stories that my brother and I just joke about constantly is I think I was probably 16 or 17, and that's about when I hit my growth spurt. And he was 13 or 14, and he was already pretty big. And my uncle, I guess he's a step uncle, awesome dude, works in media. Brilliant, brilliant guy, but he's pretty short. And real fast talker, like, again, just an awesome, awesome guy. The first time we saw him in like 6 or 7 years, he came up to us and he was like, ha, look at these two power forwards.
That's what's up, dude.
And for whatever reason, like, we were both taller than him at that time.
Yeah.
And he's probably like 5'7", you know?
Yeah.
And just, it's one of those things, like, with you have a brother or a friend that it's like, we just constantly, so like, somebody will come up to us and be like, you guys are taller than we thought. And we're like, look at these two power forwards.
I found out recently the British Prime Minister Rishi Sunak is 5'7". I was surprised by that information.
That's got to be one of the smallest European or Western leaders ever.
And that it's a
even like if you date back like 100 years or something.
Yeah. It's a testament to the parliamentary system. There's no way that someone would be elected that's 5'7".
No.
I mean, like, he won an election, but not like a presidential election.
Right.
There's probably like a couple short members of Congress, one or two.
I mean, you know, it goes back to the not even just the height thing, but the Kennedy Nixon classic radio 101 thing.
Yeah. But yeah, so Marshall Faulk hires two accountants and he has them both examine each other's work.
Oh, nice. I like that. A little bit of
he's got two pit bulls in a cage.
It's like a little King Solomon move, right?
Yeah. And like he gives a bonus to whichever the one, you know, like they're, you know, they come to a consensus about which one saved him the most money. And that guy gets a big check.
That's dope.
Then the other one's just got to try next year a little bit harder. But so Steve Harvey did not do that. Mm. And when his accountant died, he realized he hadn't paid taxes for 7 years. And the clip I saw is great. I recommend, I don't remember what the name of the podcast was, but I'm sure it's the first thing that comes up if you just search Steve Harvey taxes. But like, you know, he's just talking about like he was included in a call by mistake. Like it was like his advisors and like a tax lawyer were talking and he wasn't supposed to be on the list of people because they didn't know that he could hear it. And so they were talking more frankly than they would if they were talking to him. And they were like, I don't know how he's not going to go to jail. Like, he's going to go to jail. Like, the IRS, just the amount of money, like, they just don't give a fuck about why you didn't. And I think that with penalties, I think he said it was like $650 million or something like that.
What?
I mean, it might be 60, which I realize is a giant difference. But, like, he was, let me see. Okay, I'm way off. He had to pay $650,000 a month. He owed over $20 million. So
that's,
I apologize.
It's still a lot, but the first number you gave me that was almost $1 billion. Different. I was like, Jesus Christ.
Way different. That's my bad. But yeah, $650,000. Like, just imagine coming up with $650,000 a month. I mean, like, I assume that there's celebrities that make that, but like, that's such a different life.
I'm having a hard
time
coming up with what I need to pay quarterly right now, and I'm not making that much money. However, I will tell you,
your combined entity like would love to make $650,000 a year, and like, you know, you're paying however many people.
I did have a conversation with a tax person recently, and he offered to me the fact that he was like, you know, these IRS people are, everyone thinks that they're like, they're not that smart.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to be like, you know.
I mean, that's why we have the situation we do. Like, if you're smart, you go into cheating taxes.
Yeah. Like, you don't have to be a lawyer.
Yeah.
You know, like, they're just, it's just a guy or a lady who got a job. Like, they're just money cops, and most cops don't understand it's not their job to. So yeah, he was just like, it's nauseating that I have to explain to them like why this isn't right. He's like, but everyone I talk to, every single one of them, like, they don't really understand what they're doing.
Yeah, no, I've been in that situation for a while. Like, I think like 2 years ago, the IRS made a mistake on how much I owe. And now every time I send them money, they're like, okay, but where's the rest? And then like the guy, you know, big time MVP, shout out to Kyle. I hadn't said a word to him. And I just found out this morning he'd already asked for an extension on our business taxes, which were due 5 days ago. And I hadn't thought about it till now, but he already filed the extension. Big shout out to Kyle.
Big ups, Kyle.
And every time I'll be like, Kyle, what's happening? And he'll send him a letter again. And then they just don't do anything. And then the next time we pay taxes, they're like, where's the rest?
It's fun.
We don't know it, pal. But fun. Yeah, so he toured the shit out of it. Like, I think he settled this in like 2012. So I don't really remember Steve Harvey's touring schedule in 2011 and 2010. But apparently he was in a big room every fucking weekend night that there was in order to raise $650 a month. And I think that the retiring from touring, whenever he's talking to Shannon and Shannon asks him why he's not out touring now, he does not say because I was exhausted, because I had to tour so much to pay off my tax debt. So obviously other things were going on, but like it all lines up, you know, like I think it burned him out on touring.
That's interesting. What's funny about it is that's a different approach than what like Wesley Snipes did.
Because like, what did Wesley Snipes do?
Wesley Snipes hit the taxation is theft. And then he went to jail.
That's that is inevitably where that leads.
he tried. I remember, I haven't pulled up here now, but I remember reading about this before. Like, he just kept doing the you can't tax me. And they're like, we're gonna arrest you. Like, you're going to court and you're not leaving on your own.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happened.
And then I guess we won't be taxing you in some senses. So if you prefer this option, you can do that.
Snipes responded to his indictment in a letter on December 4th, 2006, declaring him to, himself to be a non-resident alien of the United States. In reality, Snipes is a birthright U.S. citizen. He was born in Orlando.
I don't know how much sovereignty anyone born in Orlando has.
So the government hemmed him up.
Then final tiny note I wanted to leave you with. Have you watched the 311 Tiny Desk? I believe we talked briefly about the 311 Tiny Desk.
I saw a couple clips. I mean, I will watch it. Did you notice
the headgear of the bassist? And do you have a reaction?
I guess not. I think the clip I saw is where old boy's doing the voice change.
Pretty tight.
Yeah, but I guess I didn't notice that.
He's wearing an orange hat that in groovy letters just says, don't trip. And I noticed that behind him, that they do, I don't know if like they just bought another one or if it's the actual hat.
The Mac Miller hat?
Yeah, they've got it at the Tiny Desk set. And then the bassist is wearing the Mac Miller Tiny Desk Don't Trip
That's hat. Awesome.
Yeah, pretty cool. Like, because at the beginning, they're like, you know, we love this series. And so it's a real honor to do it. And just to know that like the bassist of, I mean, the bassist of 311 has to be 20 years older than Mac Miller.
Yeah, at least.
And just to know that he's out there just being like, I love this shit. You know, like he has to have watched that Tiny Desk as many times as we have.
Shout out to Will from Circling Back. I was listening to them on the way back from New Mexico. And I really got a kick out of him being like, my only criticism is that desk is not that tiny.
It's a decent sized desk. Yeah.
Like you would walk up to it and be like, normal desk.
yeah. Absolutely. Obviously true.
to be the defining quality of the series.
Yeah.
It does seem, you know, and it's not like comically huge, like if there was a guy named Tiny.
Yeah. It's closer to that. But no, it's just a desk. Just like it's just normal desk.
Yeah. It's just desk. That's right.
Justin Timberlake one, he does the worst thing that anyone can do where he's like, man, you guys are right. This desk is tiny. Ugh.
What a dweeb.
Yeah. It's a good performance, though. All right. I hope you have a great day.
Thank you.
See you.
That's it for tonight. The high school special is next, so until tomorrow, for everyone who's been a part of this one,
I'm TC and Jake.
We do thank you for watching. Good night.